Welcome to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO and the host of Money Life, Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, today we're going to talk about everyone's favorite subject, taxes.
Income tax.
Income taxes, yes.
How's that make you feel to hear the word?
Well, it's an annual event.
is that your first thought?
Well,
death and taxes, right?
Yeah, actually, you can't avoid them, and they are not as bad as some people would think.
All right, but I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. How do you prepare your income tax returns?
Well, actually, we get our taxes prepared by a professional accountant.
Okay, so you hire a CPA.
We do.
So you farm it out. Do you do them on time, or do you file extensions?
We typically file them on time. Sometimes the business, because business taxes are actually due today, they're due March 15th, and so that's a month ahead, and sometimes we end up putting that out for a single extension, but personal taxes on time.
All right, and one more question. Do you stress out about your income tax?
You know, I used to, but I have to tell you, since we went on a completely electronic way of keeping all of our records, it makes getting the information and categorizing it a snap. You know, no more going through the files and files and files of receipts and all of that stuff. All of it's done. I use envelopes.
Yeah.
So
you just export your data and you're done.
It's very easy. And
you probably didn't intend to give such a good sales plug for Crown Envelopes, but that's a good one.
It is.
All your records are right there.
So I don't stress about it anymore. Now, how about you?
We file online and we do it ourselves. In fact, it's always sort of an annual ritual. Anne helps me to do some calculations. For instance, she always calculates our charitable deductions, all of our itemized deductions, puts it in nice stacks, and then I do it online and I use an online service, file it, and I don't stress out about it. In fact, because we normally get a return every year, I actually look forward to it. And I have a trivia question for our listeners. Every year, about 75% of all the people in America get a tax refund. How much is the average tax refund in America? Dave, why don't you represent the listeners and take a shot at it?
Well, I don't know if I want to burst their bubble.
You've heard me say it before.
I know I have.
You listen well. About $2,200. Yeah. Most people send the government $200 a month every year and then ask for it back at the end of the year.
Well, we'll take a short break and be back with information on how you can save on your income taxes without itemizing deductions. This is Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries.
Has the economy pressured you to rethink your career? Does your heart long to take the next step and pursue God's true calling for your life? Whether you're planning for your first job or your last, the Career Direct Complete Guidance System from Crown Financial Ministries can help. With Career Direct, you'll analyze four critical areas: your personality, skills, interests, and values. You'll learn more about the real you and develop a plan to grow personally and professionally. You'll learn to see your strengths. And the Career Direct Complete Guidance System is designed from a biblical perspective to help you maximize your career by maximizing your God-given gifts and abilities. Career Direct can be completed in about an hour online. For more, go to careerdirectonline.org and try the free personality ID profile. That's careerdirectonline.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and today we're talking about ways you can save on your taxes without having to itemize. And Chuck, before the break, you mentioned that the average refund is about $2,200. That's a lot of money.
It is, and if you're in a financial bind, it's a good thing to do to adjust your withholding every year so that you're not sending that interest-free loan to the U.S. government and expecting it back later and considering it a bonus. Now, I'm actually one of those that does that. I have to admit it. But in our case, I prefer to slightly overpay and to expect something back than to have a tax liability on April 15th. So It just feels better to us. It works for our budget. But if you're in a financial pinch, you can probably adjust your withholding and not send that money on ahead.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how to save on income taxes without having to itemize, which is always a bit of a pain to have to itemize all of your expenses. And this information comes from a recent article published by MarketWatch. So, Chuck, how do you get tax breaks without itemizing?
Well, first of all, you have to have a significant number of deductions to be able to itemize. And usually it's for homeowners who are paying lots of interest on their mortgage. They have real estate taxes, and they're making some significant charitable contributions. But there are ways to get tax breaks even though you don't qualify for itemized deductions. And when people talk about that, they're referring to the deductions listed on Schedule A. And you typically replace your itemized deductions with what the government provides for you as a standard deduction. Now, the standard deduction for married couples filing jointly right now is $11,400. That's for 2009. So you would have to have itemized expenses greater than that to warrant itemizing your deductions. Are you following me, Dave?
Yeah. Now tell me just what would be categorized as an itemized deduction. When you say you have to have $11,000, what's entailed in that?
Well, there's a whole lot of things entailed in that, but it's primarily mortgage interest expense, real estate taxes, charitable contributions, and other out-of-pocket expenses, medical expenses, if you don't have a cafeteria plan. There's a whole list of them that if you spend money on those things and you're married and filed jointly and they total more than $11,400, then you should itemize. If not, take the standard deduction.
Okay, I got it.
So when you're preparing your tax returns, determine your status and then determine the standard deduction. And if you don't have itemized expenses that you think will exceed that, take the simple road and just accept the standard deductions.
Well, one of the other benefits of a standard deduction is that you are not subject to auditing on standard deductions as you would be with itemized.
That's exactly right. If you take the standard deductions, you're not going to be audited. If you itemize, then you're providing information that needs to be verified and validated, so you have an exposure to a potential audit. Now, another way to not be concerned about an IRS audit, Dave, is to just absolutely tell the truth. And I've had a friend who was audited. Even though he does his taxes perfectly and honestly every single year, he did receive an audit and he ended up owing them $69 for some little tiny mistake he had made. But, you know, he was able to sleep well at night, not worrying that the audit had come up. Another friend of mine stresses every single year when it comes to tax time. And I've always wondered why. Why is he so stressed out? And the only thing I can think is either he just has a terrible bitterness to paying taxes that it just stirs up and agitates inside of him, or there's something about it that he is fearful of, that maybe he's playing in some gray areas, and if he ever gets his number called, the house could come crashing down, because he says it's the worst day of the year for him. He waits till midnight on April 15th, you know, every year there's news stories of people lined up at the post office waiting to drop it off, the procrastinators of the world. And he must be one of those that just can't stand to file.
Well, if you decide to take the standard deduction and you realize that's better than itemizing, Chuck, there are still ways that you can save money in your taxes. Let's talk about if you take that standard deduction. How do you save on your taxes?
Well, there's a new schedule, Schedule L, and you make adjustments to your income based upon tax credits that you may qualify for. Now, this year, you and your spouse, a married couple, get an extra standard deduction for $500 for property taxes that you paid in 2009. So again, if you're not itemizing, then you will take the standard deductions on Schedule L. Also, you can deduct the sales tax that you paid if you purchased a new car in 2009. Mm-hmm. I actually purchased a used car in 2009, but it did not qualify for the deduction. Now, see how much I know by doing my taxes myself, Dave? I had to purchase a new car.
Okay.
But only new cars, not used cars. Now, if your state doesn't have sales tax, you may be able to deduct some of the title fees that you paid for your vehicle. And I did qualify for that deduction. It also allows people who had a disaster loss to claim along with their standard deduction. So if you were a part of, let's say, a hurricane or a natural disaster, then typically the government allows some tax credits for those folks.
Well, Chuck, we're talking about deductions, and I know there's a difference between tax deductions and tax credits. And is one better than the other?
Yes, tax credits are far better than tax deductions. Tax credits are dollar for dollar. So let's say you get a home buyer's credit of $8,000, then that's a dollar for dollar benefit. Now, that's not the case with tax deductions. Each dollar of a tax deduction that you claim only reduces your taxes by your income tax rate. So, for instance, if your income tax rate is 25%, you only save a quarter of your taxes for every dollar of income tax deductions that you claim. So that's the big difference. And there are two types of income tax credits. There's a refundable and a non-refundable. And guess which one is better?
Probably the refundable.
Actually, the refundable credits are better, and that's a very good guess.
It was a guess.
Now, non-refundable tax credits can reduce your income taxes to zero, but any tax credit over and above that is actually lost. So the child and dependent care tax credit or the retirement savings contribution credits, those are examples of non-refundable credits.
Okay.
Now, the earned income credit and the home buyer's credit are actually refundable. And what that means, if there's any credit left over after your income taxes are reduced to zero, then the IRS will send you the money that they owe to you on that tax credit. So that's a very good deal.
That is a very good deal. Chuck, on lines 23 through 37 on the federal tax form 1040, there are a lot of ways that are listed that you can save money on little items.
Yeah, and little items add up, Dave. For instance, if you're a teacher and you have to purchase supplies, you can get a $250 deduction for any money that you've spent on buying supplies. And I know a lot of teachers listen to the program, so hopefully that's a good tip for you.
We'll have more ways for you to save on your taxes when Money Life returns.
You know, God encourages us to invest, and he says in Ecclesiastes 11:2 to spread out or diversify to lower our risk. And one of the best ways to diversify is mutual funds. That's why Crown Financial Ministries offers the Sound Mind Investing Handbook, a step-by-step guide to managing your money from a biblical perspective written by Austin Pryor. Recently updated to address timely topics, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook is one of the most comprehensive guides available on mutual fund investing. Yet, it's still easy to understand and use. And since this handbook is written from a biblical perspective, it'll teach you how to apply God's financial principles to your investing decisions. So whether you're a beginning investor or one with more experience, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook will help you invest more wisely. To get a copy, go to crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976. That's 1-800-722-1976 or crown.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. And today we're sharing some tips on saving money on income taxes. And I think everybody wants to figure out how they can save money on those income taxes.
I think it's good stewardship to save money on your income tax. And we were talking about tax credits in the previous segment. There are at least 18 credits that the average taxpayer may qualify for.
Wow.
And if you want to dig into that yourself, you can go to irs.gov and find out about them. In Chapter 6 in Publication 17, they list those tax credits. And if you don't want to remember that, just go to crown.org and we'll have a link to that particular section of the IRS code. Now, Dave, I use an electronic program. I don't necessarily need to give the name of that program, but it is very, very user-friendly. And you go in and register, and they start asking you questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it because all I have to do is to have the data or the numbers to plug in and answer the questions correctly. And the program I use will ask you every single one of these tax credits.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do this or did you do this? And you just answer the questions, and they make the calculations for you. In fact, I did something this year I'd never done. I Googled the electronic service that I use to file my taxes and found a free website that if I started at that website and then went to this e-file service, then I was able to get a 25% discount on the fees on that site. And actually, I went to the Fidelity.com website, and there you can link to the electronic filing service and then give you a 25% discount. And if you want to use their service, great. But if you don't, they don't charge you for getting that discount.
Well, that's a great idea and smart marketing on their part. And Chuck, you know, we're talking about tax credits today. Most of these are for taking advantage of your 2009 federal income taxes, but we're also talking about ways that you can begin now preparing for your 2010 tax year. And so what are some of those ways that we can begin today preparing to have a better tax return in 2010?
Well, something our government does, and I really do like this, is they provide tax credits if you improve the energy efficiency of your home. So if you made those improvements in 2009, you can get a tax credit. Or if you do them this year in 2010, you can look forward to getting that benefit. So it's a double win. You not only save money on your energy cost right now, but then you save money on your income tax. So that's really a great program.
Well, what are some of the items that would fall into that category of making your home more energy efficient?
How about this one, a tankless water heater? Do you have a tankless water heater?
I don't, but you know what? With six kids and guests that stay often at our home, something that was a, because they market these as you never run out of hot water.
Right, right.
We regularly run out of hot water, especially on Sunday morning.
Yes, I would like to have a little hourglass when my boys get in the shower and say, you know, 3 minutes is up, get out of there. But you can actually get a $1,500 tax credit or 30% of your out-of-pocket cost for a tankless water heater, whichever is less, and that's a great idea.
Yeah, it might be worth looking into. What's another one?
Credit for new windows and doors. That's a way to dramatically cut your home energy cost. You cannot get a credit for the labor to install those, but for the actual doors and windows. And we have a few that have rotted, a few windows, and we'll be replacing those this coming year, so we'll be able to qualify for a tax credit.
Well, here in the South, one of the things that we spend lots of money on is keeping our homes and businesses cool. And there is a tax credit for heating and air conditioning systems as well.
Yes, there's a big incentive for swapping out the old energy hog for a new high-tech heating and cooling system. You can get a tax credit for up to 30% of the cost, and that does include installation.
Mm-hmm. Well, make sure that you act on this soon, because some of the scheduled tax credits will be phased out this year. So if you are in market to do that, it's a good time to take advantage of it.
Well, I'm in the camp that I believe that our taxes are going to ever be on the rise, and the government will be looking for ways to take some of those tax credits and tax deductions away from us. So if you do have plans to do those things, now's a good time to do them.
Chuck, we've given a lot of information today. And by the way, if you've been feverishly trying to write down those pieces of information, just relax. Go to crown.org/radio and click on the related content for today's program. And all of this information will be there. And you can download it. You can print it. You can go back and refer to it at your leisure.
And Dave, let me add a disclaimer that I am certainly not a tax expert. I'm just giving some advice from my own experiences. And check everything with a tax professional or through your own research at irs.gov.
Chuck, as we think about taxes and the opportunity to take a deduction or the process of filing, all that's kind of mechanical. But really behind all of that, the Bible's pretty clear about the kind of attitude that we should have about paying our taxes.
Dave, Christ made it very clear in Matthew 22 when he was asked by the Pharisees whether or not they should pay taxes to Caesar. And Jesus called them hypocrites and said, "You're trying to trap me." And then he said, "Show me the coin used for paying the tax." So they brought him the denarius, and he asked them, "Whose portrait is this? And whose inscription?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." So Christ made it very clear that we're to pay our taxes. There's a couple of myths out there that, one, you can voluntarily opt out of paying income tax. That's not true. You'll go to jail for trying to do that. Secondly, that there are moral and religious grounds for trying to avoid paying taxes. That's not true either. Christ said to pay taxes. Now, is it appropriate to try to minimize how much taxes you pay? Yes, absolutely, because that's just good stewardship. The money that you are not required to pay by law in taxes, if you take legitimate deductions and legitimate tax credits and you're able to preserve some of your income, that's more money to use to advance the kingdom of God. So I have no problem whatsoever with paying taxes, nor do I have any problem with trying to preserve the amount that I intend to use to advance God's kingdom. Just avoid all the gray areas, sleep well at night, and I think that was Christ's intention in this passage.
You're listening to Money Life. We'll be back with more right after this.
It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Crown Financial Ministries is proud to introduce God Provides, a new film learning experience featuring Golden Globe nominee Dean Jones.
What if God told me to do something I did not understand?
Through epic storytelling, this series of six short films presents timeless illustrations of God's never-failing ability to provide for His people. See the hand of God at work in engaging biblical stories that remain true even today in making life decisions. With each film, you'll receive a companion guide with discussion questions and activities to use with your family or a group. God Provides is available now at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. To learn more about the films, visit crown.org/God Provides.
Welcome back to this final segment of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. And today we've been talking about saving money on your income taxes. And if you've just joined us, this is one you're going to want to go back, listen to again, perhaps even sign up for the podcast. You can download it and go step by step. Lots of information. By the way, all of the information we gave you today is available at crown.org/radio. And just click on the link for related content, and you can download that to your computer. Well, Chuck, this Thursday in Raleigh, North Carolina, you have a very special event.
Dave, we're continuing the God Provides Film Learning Experience City Tour. We've done 5 of these events so far, and I have personally enjoyed every single one of them. After the events, we take a survey. We ask the audience, how did they feel about it? What can we do better? Did you get something out of this? And Dave, the feedback has just been stellar. Everybody has said they're deeply encouraged. They love the event. They enjoy the format. There's just one thing they wish we would change. They wish that we would make them longer. They're an hour and a half. We run a tight event. We start at 7 and end at 8:30, and people want us to stay longer. And I actually wish we could, but it's on a weeknight so that you can bring the kids. We're going to show 2 of the short films, Abraham and Isaac, and The Widow and the Oil. Both of them are appropriate for the kids. And we're going to ask you to interact with us. I'm going to teach a while, but we're going to look at God's Word come alive before our eyes and share with one another all that He's done in our lives. One of the things I personally get so much out of from being there is learning how much God is doing in the lives of our listeners. I come away just supercharged. But the event is Thursday, March 18th. Providence Baptist Church is our host. We'll start at 7. We'll end at 8:30. And please register at crown.org. Let me know you're coming. Get directions, and I look forward to meeting you there.
Well, again, that's this Thursday, March 18th at Providence Baptist Church, and no charge, but do go to crown.org/register to sign up. Let us know you're coming. You'll also find directions and other important information there. Chuck, before we go, we don't often talk about the financial aspect of our ministry, but the fact is we indeed are listener supported, and it's a critical time in the life of this ministry as well as the life of the country to get this information about God's economy to as many people as possible.
Well, no doubt, Dave. Many people forget that we would not exist if it were not for our faithful financial partners, and I would like to encourage all of you who appreciate this broadcast and want to be a part of the ministry to join us now. We need your help. If you're one of the 75% of Americans who are receiving a tax refund this year, we would love for you to come and make a gift this month. It would make a huge difference to us right now.
Well, to send a gift, you can go to crown.org and click on that donate button there on the homepage, or if you prefer, just dial 1-800-722-1976. That's 1-800-722-1976. Well, for Chuck and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.